collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
All right, good morning. We're so glad that all of you are tuning in and joining us on Facebook Live, and some of you on the Zoom call, listening over the phone. And thank you to the worship team for coming out and leading us in that time. Appreciate everybody that is working hard to make this happen so we can be gathered together over the online connection here on Facebook Live, and again, also on the Zoom call. And I also want to give a shout out, give a big thank you to Dan Hallberg, one of our members who, a number of months back when we started Facebook Live, Dan worked out some of the sound things so that we have high-quality audio going out on this signal. And so it makes it easy for everybody to listen in that on Facebook Live. So really appreciate the work that Dan did months ago. And we had no idea at that point that we were all going to be watching online. So I'm just very thankful that we were able to work those things out a number of months ago as we've been doing Facebook Live for over a year now. During this Lent series, we have been walking through this series of Hidden, The Stranger Among Us, and we're going to continue on. This is our third week in this series, and we've been talking about what it means to be the stranger, to notice the stranger, to receive the stranger now, and in 2 weeks, we'll talk about loving the stranger as well. And so in that first week, we reminded ourselves of the experience of being an outsider or a foreigner in a community. It's that one who is not in the position of influence or power in the community, but is dependent upon others. And it's good for us to remember this. It's good for the people of God to remember what does it mean to be the stranger, because God even said to his people Israel to remember that they once were strangers in Egypt. And so we have to be reminded of that as well, that we all at one point were outside of the family of God and have been invited in. We once were strangers, and now we are part of the family of God. And then last week, we talked about what it means to go beyond just noticing the stranger and truly, really seeing the other person in the way that God has made them as a real person. A person in need of God's love and grace. A person that God has put in our path that we can then meet and welcome, and they are no longer a stranger, but now have become a neighbor because we have treated them as a neighbor. And so today we talk about what does it mean to receive the stranger, receiving the stranger. We're going to be in the passage of Good Samaritan. Carl read it for us earlier again there in Luke chapter 10. And this is not by mistake, but there is so much good stuff in this passage for us that we want to make sure that we get all of this. And it was last fall in October that a group of us were at the North American Baptist Northwest regional meetings. And in those meetings, we had a message the last morning from a good friend, Carrie Bender, who happens to be the vice president for the international missions in our North American Baptist Conference. And Carrie spoke to us out of the Good Samaritan passage in Luke 10. And he had presented it in a way that I had never heard before. And so I want to give Carrie credit for introducing this perspective to me on this passage. And I hope and pray that you find it as intriguing and thought-provoking as I did when I heard Carrie speak on it in October. See, often when we look at this passage, we focus on how we should be like the Good Samaritan. And in fact, we should. And last week, that's what we talked about, in that we should be a neighbor as the Good Samaritan was a neighbor to the traveler who was attacked. But there's another angle that we can look at when we come to this story. And that is, have you ever considered what it would be like being in the place of the innkeeper? If you or I, or we as the church, are the innkeeper in the story, it changes the story a little bit in what it means for us, what we can take away from it. Because if we are the innkeeper as the church, as the people of God, then that makes God the Good Samaritan, who is the hero of the story, which makes sense because God is the hero of Scripture. And so when we look at this story from this angle, it opens up a whole lot of new ideas and new thoughts about what does it mean for us to receive the stranger among us. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to focus on verses 30 through 35 in the larger passage that Carl read for us earlier. And so before we get into the text, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Join me in prayer. Father God, we again thank you that we can be gathered together, even remotely, through this wonderful technology that you have blessed us with. God, that we can be the church together this day. And God, as we come to your word, as we gather, Lord, to learn and to hear from it, God, we know and trust that you are with each person today, even though we cannot be together in person, God. You are with each one of us. And God, we know that you can speak to each person where they are at. And so, God, we trust that you will speak through your word. God, may our hearts be open to receive what it is that you would have for us today. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this passage, beginning in verse 30, the first thing that we're going to notice is that God is on a rescue mission to rescue strangers. He is on his mission to rescue strangers. We begin in verse 30 in Luke chapter 10. It tells us there, Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. Now a priest happened to be going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, on his journey, came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. See, in this story, again, the Good Samaritan sets the example for us of what does it mean to be a good neighbor. He is the hero of the story, and in the story of the Bible, God is the hero as well. See, from the beginning of the story of the Bible to the end of the story, it is all about God and his mission to rescue and to redeem lost mankind. When we go to the very beginning in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis 3, it was God who sought them out. They were the ones hiding from God, but God actively sought them out. He pursued them, and then he rescued them with the sacrifice of an animal, covering their sin, making the clothes for them, covering their sin with that sacrifice. And then when you fast forward a few chapters, you come to Genesis 12, and we encounter a man named Abram that we know as Abraham when God changed his name to Abraham. And in chapter 12 of Genesis, God declared that through this one man and his family and the nation that would come from him, God would bless all nations through the one who would come. Now, this nation that he established through Abraham is the nation called Israel. And Israel was not just a special nation for itself, but Israel was a special nation to proclaim the goodness of God, the goodness of Yahweh, as a beacon of hope, to faithfully proclaim that to all of the nations, worshiping God and living according to his ways. Now, it was out of this nation of Israel, that came the fulfillment of this promise given to Abraham to be a blessing to all nations. And the fulfillment of that promise was God himself coming, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, coming to rescue and to redeem us through his death and his resurrection. See, this is the rescue mission that God has always been on. And like the Good Samaritan in the story, God is always seeking out the hurting and the broken. He is a God of compassion. And so when we read that the Good Samaritan responded with compassion, it's very fitting of God. Because when he revealed himself in Exodus 34:6 to Moses on the mountain, And he described himself, the first thing he said is he is a God of compassion. And so God has always been on this rescue mission. We read elsewhere, Ezekiel 34:16, God is speaking to his people and he says, I will search for my lost ones who strayed away and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds an awful lot like what the Good Samaritan did in this passage in Luke 10. Now, we also see in the Gospels, as Jesus describes his own purpose, his own mission, the incarnate Son of God, as to what he is up to. He says in Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man, referring to himself, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And so when we open Scripture and we see from the very beginning and throughout Scripture, God has been on a mission to rescue and redeem lost mankind. We are the ones who have broken creation. We are the ones who have sinned. We are the ones who have been lost. And God is the one who has been pursuing each and every one of our hearts since the very beginning. So that's our first point that we see in this. The second is this, that God resources us, his church, to care for his rescued children. See, they're no longer strangers once God has rescued them. They are now, we might say, neighbors in the context of the story, but God would say that we are his children. In John 1, he says that he has given us the right to be called the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. And so we see here that he resources us to do this. Picking the story up halfway through verse 34, we read this. So Jesus is continuing to tell the story. He says, then he, the Good Samaritan, put him, that would be the traveler, on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. And we're just going to pause right there in the story. You see, following Jesus' establishment of the church, we read about that in Acts chapter 2. He ascended into heaven there as he established the church in chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Acts. And now, through his people, through the church, we become the means by which God is now accomplishing that rescue mission here on earth. See, the mission has never changed. God is just choosing to work through us, his people, to accomplish it. He's still on a rescue mission. But now he has invited us into that mission to partner with him in this. And he gives us the resources to be a part of this rescue mission. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about what we commonly call spiritual gifts. And in verse 7, we see this. The Apostle Paul tells us that a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. See, through the Holy Spirit, God has gifted each and every one of us in ways that allows us to serve others in the name of Jesus. And so in that, we get to be his hands and feet here on earth. Later in verse 27, he even says to us that we are the body of Christ. And we are individually members of it. Meaning, each believer is now part of the body of Christ, actively carrying out the mission of God here on earth. As the innkeeper did in the story, we do here. And so we have ourselves to serve others, the resources that God has given us, time, money, other things, the spiritual gifts that he has given us in order to be able to serve others. You see, in the story, the Good Samaritan is willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of the traveler. He's on a journey somewhere. He has a purpose. He has a mission. Last week we talked about how the priest and the Levite probably had things they needed to go and do. Reasons why in their mind they justified ignoring this traveler that had been wounded and in need of care. But the Good Samaritan responds differently, and he gives time and money to care for this person. He gives up resources. See, God does the same in his mission to rescue people. He gives up. He is inconvenienced for our good. And in that, because we now partner with him in that mission, he asks us as his church, as the people of God, to be inconvenienced for the good of helping others in the name of Jesus. So he is calling us to be the body of Christ in this way. Now, it's hard to think, what does this mean for us right now as we are all pulling together and sacrificing to do things of social isolation to try to halt the spread of the COVID-19 virus so that we can manage the health care and all of these things that are important. We're all being asked to sacrifice in that. In fact, I would say living out the gospel of being inconvenienced for the sake of others, doing social distancing is a way to live out the gospel because it's an inconvenience for me. It is a sacrifice for me. I'm giving up my freedom for the sake of others. That's the heart of the gospel. That's what Jesus did for us in the cross is he gave up for the sake of others. And it's what we are being asked to do. But in the midst of that, there is also need that is going on around us. People that cannot work, that are dependent upon that income, there's going to be needs. There's going to be those in your neighborhood that are not able to go out and shop for themselves. Maybe family that needs your help. We all can look for ways to serve others while doing our best to social distance in a way that is a sacrifice and a giving up and an inconvenience for the good of others. So yes, it might be different right now. It might look different. But the call of the gospel, the call of being inconvenienced for the sake of others is still the same. And we can do that as the people of God. But we have to have eyes to see how God is inviting us to do that right now and what that looks like for us. And we need to have grace for each person who decides, this is what it looks like for me to live in this way. And understand that we are all doing our best in extraordinary circumstances to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this, to welcome the stranger. One more thing that we want to say about this passage, and that's this, that God rewards us when we care well for his children. When we care well for his children, he rewards us. We pause there in the middle of verse 35, and we want to pick it up right there. Jesus concludes this part of the story by saying, he says, take care of him. This is the Good Samaritan speaking to the innkeeper, and he says, take care of him, and when I come back, I will reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never really spent much time considering the role of the innkeeper in this story. He's often an afterthought because we focus on the Good Samaritan, and rightly so, we understand why he is the hero of the story. But at the end of the story here, the care for the traveler is now the responsibility of the innkeeper. The Good Samaritan is out of the picture at the end, and he passes off the care for this person to the innkeeper. Now, we don't have any insight into what the innkeeper thought or felt about this task. He doesn't speak. He's a passive part of the story, and yet he's a very important part of the story. The way Jesus tells the story, though, there is an implied trust that the innkeeper has towards the Good Samaritan. Now, last week when we looked at this passage, we concluded it would be reasonable to assume that this Good Samaritan is probably a regular traveler on this road. In fact, he might have even had compassion for this other traveler who was injured because he had been attacked in the same way before. We don't know, but it's quite possible. And he might already be somebody that the innkeeper knows and has a relationship with. If he is a regular traveler on the road, there's a good chance that the innkeeper knows who he is. Maybe he's even stayed there before. And that would allow the innkeeper to see him as an honest or reputable person. We can't be certain. It is a story, after all, that Jesus just told to make a point, to make an important point. But at the end of the day, it is just a story that Jesus is using to teach a point about what it means to be a neighbor. So some of this we don't know. But if we consider our role in the story as the innkeeper, we ask, okay, if God is the Good Samaritan, why would I trust God that He is going to come through for me if He is asking me now to sacrifice on behalf of this other person as the innkeeper? He's just dropped off this wounded and weary traveler with us and told us to care for him. Who does that sort of thing and presumes upon me as the innkeeper that now I should care for this person that he has brought to me? I'll tell you who does that. God does that. Because he's given us a purpose in this. This is one of the reasons why we are here as the church, to be innkeepers as the church for those that God is rescuing, to care for the ones he has rescued. And when we say rescued, we mean those who have now received salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. God brings them to us as a church. He brings them to you. He brings them to me. He puts them into our lives now, and he expects us to receive them and to care for them, to extend grace to them, and to help them by teaching them in the way of Jesus, that what does it look like to live life in the way of Jesus. And so the question we have to answer in this is, are you willing to answer the call that God as the Good Samaritan has placed on your life as an innkeeper? If he hasn't done this already, he is going to bring a weary, wounded traveler into your life. And your job is going to be to care for that person, to be there for them, to love on them, to extend grace to them, and to help them learn how to grow in the way of Jesus. Now, the Good Samaritan tells the innkeeper that he's going to reimburse him for any additional expenses. And this is where the innkeeper exercises trust here. There's an implied trust that the innkeeper actually follows through on this, taking the Good Samaritan at his word that he will follow through on this. How is it that we can take God at his word that he will follow through on this as well? Guys, for me, and I know for many of you who have been walking with Jesus for years, he has shown himself faithful and true. And because he has shown himself faithful, we can trust him in all things. And if he says he is going to reward us for the ways that we serve in his name, for the things that we do for the wounded, for the traveler who is coming to faith in Jesus and help them, yes, we can trust in him in that. And so in the same way that God has said he will reward us for the works that we do in his name, this includes the way in which we receive strangers, the way we receive those who God brings into our lives, the way we use the resources that God has given us to bless them and to help them in the faith. And he has told us and promised in his word that that reward is coming, just as the Good Samaritan said to the innkeeper. It's in Revelation 22:12, where Jesus says this to us. He says, "Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work." Meaning the things that you have done for the sake of others in the name of Jesus, God is seeing that. And there is an eternal reward in heaven waiting for you as you receive the stranger, as you extend grace and love and mercy and help others in the way of Jesus, there is a reward waiting for you in that. As I mentioned, and we've all been mentioning, and we're so fully aware, we are living in unprecedented times. And concern for the stranger or those on the edge of community is more important than ever. And it's in this time of social distancing and all of us trying to do what we can to flatten the curve, right? That we still have to look for those that God is rescuing and bringing to us as his church. The need for hope and the need for peace is greater than ever. Fear is rampant in our culture, and the good news of Jesus needs to be proclaimed. And this can happen wherever you are. We don't have to be together in person to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Right now, the church is scattered. This is what God did in the New Testament, is he scattered the church. Now we're scattered in our homes and in our neighborhoods, but where we're at, we can still proclaim the good news of Jesus. Now, I don't know how you personally are handling this situation that we're in. It's affecting all of us deeply and in very different ways. And I don't know, those of you who are watching, if you have the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. See, in the back of all of our minds, whether we admit it or not, is this low-grade fear that there's the possibility any one of us can lose our life or lose a loved one to this virus. Now, I get it that the risk is low for those who are young, those who are healthy, the risk is very low, but there is still that reality that we are all facing, that life will end at some point. We are facing our own mortality in this, and the mortality of those whom we love. And so we naturally ask in times like this, what is it that happens when we die? Now let me tell you, the Bible is very clear on this subject for us. Physical death, when this life is over, it is a transition to one of two forever realities. The first reality, or the first option of that, is the experience of eternal judgment from a just God who has to punish sin. The second option, though, one that is far greater, that I hope and pray that you desire for your life. The second option is experiencing eternal life and blessing with God because you have accepted by faith the free offer of salvation through Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, how is it that you can receive that free gift and ask for that forgiveness from God? For he is willing to forgive all of us. He desires to do it. All we have to do is ask. And we do this through prayer. And so right now, even though we're scattered around, we've got people around the country that are watching this morning. We're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. And if you've never prayed to ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins and ask him to be your Savior, I invite you to pray these words along with me. Okay, so we're gonna pray right now. Dear God, I confess that I have sinned. I have hurt others and have disobeyed your command to love you first and to love others as myself. Again, I invite you to follow along and pray with me. I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in my place. Because of my sin, I now receive your free gift of forgiveness and eternal life, trusting in Jesus' death and his resurrection, that it pays the penalty for my sin. I now repent of my sin, and I ask you to give me the strength and desire to live the way Jesus did by loving you and others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to tell you two important things right now. First, if you just prayed for forgiveness in Jesus' name for the first time, I want to welcome you to the family of God. The Bible says that when we do that very thing, we are adopted as his children. And there is nothing that can change that. You cannot be unadopted once you are adopted into the family of God. You now have the free gift of eternal life and can be confident that you will be with God in heaven when this life is over. The second thing that I would like to say is that we would love to hear from you, because we would love to help you learn more about living a life the way that Jesus did. See, it's not just about knowing that we can go to heaven. It's also about living for Jesus right now and living in the way of Jesus so that others can see the joy and the peace that we have in that and be invited into that way as well. It is a life that is full of love for God and love for your fellow man, love for others. So please, we invite you to reach out. You can message us on Facebook if you're watching right now and just tell us on Facebook that you have. We'll be down here at the church office. You can call during the week. You can email us. You can reach out, text one of the pastors, whatever it is. We would love to just hear from you if you made that decision today, because we want to help you in this new journey of faith. In a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray, and the worship team is going to come up and close us in one more song. All right, let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray for each person that's watching today. God, I pray for anybody who today, this is the day that they said, I want forgiveness in Jesus' name. God, I would pray that you would give them that peace that passes all understanding, and that they would know and be confident of their salvation in you, of the forgiveness that they have now for their sin. And God, we welcome them as brothers and sisters in Christ, into the family of God. God, thank you that we can know and be rest assured of what our destiny is, our eternal home. And God, we thank you for that. And Lord, now we just lift up your name. God, would you be with us as we go this week to be your people? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.